What we still don't know, Peter, is how you and the others got here.
Actually, Eustace, there's not much to tell. Edmund and I were standing on the station platform. Then we saw you waving out of the window.
I remember thinking the train was taking the bend too fast.
What happened then?
Well, it's not very easy to describe, is it, Ed?
Well, not very. It wasn't at all like the other time when we were pulled out of our own world by magic. There was a frightful roar and something hit me with a bang. But it didn't hurt. And I felt not so much scared as, well, as excited. And I felt very light. And then, well, then we were here.
It all happened so quick. But it was much the same for us in the railway carriage.
Yeah, the only difference, I suspect, was that I think Polly and I chiefly felt that we'd been unstiffened.
What does that mean, Lady Polly, unstiffened?
Well, you youngsters won't understand, but we stopped feeling old.
And what's been happening since you got here?
Well, for a long time, at least I suppose it was a long time, nothing happened. And then the door opened.
The door?
The door you came in or came out by. Have you forgotten?
For a moment, yes.
It's still here, like a thing you might see in a magic show.
You can walk all the way round it, and it looks just the same on the other side.
Here's a perfectly ordinary wooden door, standing up all by itself. As if it grew here, like a tree.
Yes, this is a great marvel.
Anyway, that's the door you came through with that Calorman 5 minutes ago.
But did I not come in, out of the wood, into the stable? This seems to be a door leading from nowhere to nowhere.
Well, it looks like that if you walk around it. But put your eye to that place where there's a crack between two of the planks and look through.
No, I can't see anything. Just blackness.
You have to wait till your eyes get used to it.
Yes, I can see something. Something glowing. Dull red.
That must be what's left of the bonfire on Stable Hill.
And now? Now I can see beyond. Black sky. Stars.
What's going on out there?
I can hear voices. Calormans. They're discussing whether to go in. To come in, I mean. And look for Rishta Tarkhan. It is astonishing. In there, dark, black night. Out here, blue sky, grassy countryside, and all of you.
Your new friends.
It seems, then, that the stables seen from within and the stables seen from outside are two different places.
Yes, its inside is bigger than its outside.
In our world, too. A stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world.
Queen Lucy, please tell me the whole of your adventure.
After the shock and the noise of whatever happened on the train, we found ourselves here. And a big man came through the doorway with a drawn sword. From his armor and weapon, we knew he was a Calorman. But he didn't seem to see nor hear us. And he never once looked round at the sky and the sunlight and the grass. So I don't think he could see those either. We waited a long time. Then we heard the bolt being pulled back on the other side of the door. But at that very moment when the door opened, all of a sudden that demon Tash was there, on this side of the door.
None of us saw where he came from.
And through the door came a big cat.
That would have been Ginger.
It took one look at Tash and ran for its life. Just in time, for he pounced at it, and the door hit his beak as it slammed shut. At last the door opened for the third time, and in came a young Calorman.
That was Emeth.
Emeth? I liked him. When the sentry at the door saw him, he started and looked very surprised. I think he'd been expecting someone quite different.
I see it all now. The cat, Ginger, was to go in first, and the sentry had orders not to harm him. Then the cat was to come out and say that he'd seen their beastly Tashland, so as to scare the other animals. After that, Shift would send in anyone he wanted to get rid of, and the sentry would kill them. But what he could never have guessed was that the real Tash would turn up, so Ginger came out really frightened.
Friend, you hinder the lady in her tale.
Well, the sentry was surprised. And that gave the young Calorman, Emeth you called him, time to get on guard. They had a fight and he killed the sentry and flung his body outside the door. Then he came walking slowly forward to where we were. He could see us and everything else, and we tried to talk to him. But he was rather like a man in a trance.
He kept on saying, Tash, Tash, where is Tash?
I go to Tash. So we gave it up and he went away somewhere over there. Yes. I liked him. And after that,
after that, someone flung a monkey through the door.
The one you called Shift, I suppose. And there was Tash again. My sister is so tender-hearted. She doesn't like to tell you that Tash made one peck and the monkey was gone.
Serve him right. All the same, I hope he gave Tash indigestion.
Then came Eustace, about a dozen dwarfs, then Jill, and last of all yourself, and the Kalorman captain.
I hope Tash ate the dwarfs too, little swine.
No, he didn't. They're still here. You can see them over there.
I've tried and tried to make friends with them, but it's no use.
Friends with them? If you only knew what they did.
Oh, stop it, Eustace. Come and see them. King Tyria, perhaps you could do something with them.
I can feel no great love for dwarves today. Yet, because it is you that asks me, lady, I will come.
How curious. All sitting in a little circle, almost on top of one another. As if there wasn't enough room.
Yes, it's strange. They don't seem to be aware of anyone or anything.
Stop shoving, you great lummox.
Why, it's Griffel and his friends.
And they seem just as disagreeable on this side of the door as they were on the other.
Look out. Mind where you're going, you lot. You don't have to walk into our faces.
All right, Griffel. We've got eyes in our heads, you know.
They must be darn good ones if you can see who I am. Oh, come to that, if you can see anything in here.
Where?
Why, you bonehead, in here, of course, in this pitch-black, bulky, smelly little hole of a stable.
Are you blind?
Well, aren't we all blind in the dark?
But it isn't dark, you poor, stupid dwarf.
Sons of Earth, can't you see? Look up, look around.
Can't you see the sky, the trees, the flowers? Can't you see me?
What a joke.
And a bad one at that.
There, you tell her, Griffel.
How, in this pitch blackness, are we supposed to see you? Any more than you can see us.
But I can see you. We all can.
Oh, poor things, this is dreadful.
Let me try. Griffel, you know us. I'm Jill and this is Eustace. We met you before any of us passed through the stable door.
We were with King Tyrion. We showed you Puzzle, the donkey which the ape had dressed up as Aslan.
But we, all of us, have met the real Aslan.
How can you go on talking all that rot? Even now, when you've been beaten and shoved into this black hole, just the same as the rest of us, you're still at your old game, starting a new lie, trying to make us believe we're none of us shut up and it ain't dark, and heaven knows what else I
know. I've an idea. Listen, dwarf, even if your eyes are wrong, perhaps your nose is all right. I'll pick some flowers, these pretty little wild violets. Can you smell that?
Oh, can I? Dare you shoving a lot of filthy stable litter in my face. There was a thistle in that, too. Who are you, anyway?
Earthman, she is the Queen Lucy, sent here by Aslan out of the deep past, and it is for her sake alone that I, Tyrion, your lawful king, do not cut off all your heads from your shoulders. Proved and twice proved traitors that you are.
No grand words in the dark.
What are we going to do for them?
Let him alone.
That's right. Let us alone. Right. Just like your wonderful lion did. He didn't come and help us, did he? Thought not.
Aslan, we've all been waiting for you.
So much hope you'd come.
Hi, King Peter. Queen Lucy, my lords and ladies, loyal friends of Narnia, I bid you welcome. And Tyrion, come to me.
Sir.
Well done, last of the kings of Narnia, who stood firm at the darkest hour.
Aslan, will you do something for these poor dwarfs?
Dearest, I will show you both what I can and what I cannot do. Sons of Earth, I am calling you. Do you not hear my voice?
Hear that, lads? That's the gang at the other end of the stables trying to frighten us. Yeah. They do it with a machine of some sort. Don't take any notice.
You see, they will not let us help them. They have chosen cunning instead of belief.
They won't take us in again. The dwarves are for the dwarves.
Their prison is only in their own minds. Yet they are in that prison, and so afraid of being taken in that they cannot be taken out. But come, children, I have other work to do.
There's the young Kalorman soldier.
It's Emma. I like him.
Wait for me here. My son,
see that you are a great lord and worthy of honor. Your hair is like pure gold, and the brightness of your eyes is like the gold that is liquid in the furnace.
My son, you are welcome.
Alas, glorious one, I am no son of yours, but a servant of Tash.
Child, all the service you have ever done to Tash, I count as service done to me.
Lord, is it then true, as the ape said, that you and Tash are one?
It is false. I accept the service which you have done to Tash not because he and I are one, but because we are opposites. Listen, my child. Tash and I are of such different kinds that I will accept nothing bad that is done in my name, and he will accept nothing good that is done in his name.
But tell me, Lord, is it not possible for someone to do an evil deed in your name?
If any man do an act of cruelty in my name, even if he says the name of Aslan, it is Tash whom he truly serves, and is by Tash that his deed is accepted.
But I have been seeking Tash all my life.
Beloved, unless your desire had been for me, you would not have sought so long and so truly. For all find what they truly seek. Come, let me breathe on you. Now, enjoy this land. Wander in it at peace, but go always further up and further in. My children, follow me back to the door. Kings and queens of Narnia, ladies and lords, you are to witness the final events in the history of this land I made.
To think that we were here at the beginning.
Yes, and here now, at the end.
Now, it is time. Time! Time!
The door has opened.
The bonfire's gone out.
It's all blackness.
Time!
Look, there's a blacker patch of black against the blackness.
It's a figure, a giant. Lifting something to its mouth. A horn. I think it's about to blow a horn.
For many years he lay dreaming. Then his name was Time. Now that he is awake, he will have a new one.
Look! The sky is full of shooting stars.
My stars! I am calling you home! Come!
Dozens of them. Scores. Hundreds.
Pouring to earth. Like some rain.
There's another patch of darkness, right overhead, growing bigger and bigger, spreading out from the center of the sky.
Perhaps it's a cloud.
No, it's emptiness.
The stars, they are people.
Come to me, my star folk. Come in and welcome.
Now we can see.
My kingdom, mile after mile of Narnian woods.
In a blaze of fierce white starlight.
As if it was floodlit.
Everything but a sharp black shadow.
Our own shadows, too, stretching out before us.
And Aslan's shadow, streaming away to the left.
And a sky that will now be starless forever.
My people of Narnia, I am calling you home. Come.
Listen. Look. Thousands of eyes sparkling in the stars.
They're coming, the creatures of Narnia. Hundreds of thousands of the millions of...
Talking beasts, dwarfs, satyrs, fauns, giants, walking trees, gnomons. Men from Arkenland?
Running and racing for dear life. Towards us. Towards Aslan in the doorway.
They'll never get through. Not that many.
I think they will. Look. Either everyone's got smaller or the door's got larger.
It has. It's huge. Towering up into the darkness.
This is another great wonder.
What'll happen when they all come through?
I think not. Something seems to happen to them as they approach Aslan. I mean, look at their eyes. See? They all look Aslan straight in his face.
But you know, I don't think they have a choice about that.
But something happens when they do. Some have a look of fear or hatred. They don't seem to come near the door, but swerve off to the left into Aslan's shadow.
But those others, see? They seem to look in the face of Aslan with love. Maybe they're a little frightened, but they love him, and those ones get to come in at the door.
I must say, there's a lot of odd specimens among them. Look, there's even some of the dwarfs who helped to shoot the talking horses in the last battle.
It doesn't matter. Aslan knows what they're doing.
Look who else is here.
Jewel, my beloved unicorn, you are safe.
And happy to be reunited with you, sire.
Sire, I come to you having taken my last flight over Narnia.
Farsight.
As for me, I had to make the journey on foot.
Poggin, my faithful dwarf.
There's the horses, and the bear, and the boar, and all those dogs.
And look, friends, here is Runewit alive again. Was there ever a centaur so wise and brave?
Nor a king so worthy of loyalty as your majesty. Now, one and all, heed my words. Further up and further in!
Waters of the deep, arise!
What is that? That long, level line of whiteness coming towards us from the eastern end of the world?
It's the sea. It is. A foaming wall of water.
It was all written, set down on the day Narnia came to birth. The end established at the beginning. And the sea shall rise.
Arise and come.
Many rivers shall come together.
Come together, my rivers.
And the lakes shall join into one.
Join with one another, my lakes.
And then the valleys shall become new lakes.
Lakes, new valleys.
And the hills become islands.
Become islands, new hills.
Until all vanishes beneath the water.
Flood over all, new waters.
The sea, it's coming right up to the doorway.
Come and moon. Arise and come!
The sun's rising. Huge. 20 times as big as it ought to be. Dark red. The time giant's turned red. So is the sea, blood red. I've never seen a sun like that.
Yeah. In a different world, before Narnia was born.
It's a dying sun.
There's the moon now. Close. Very close to the sun. Not the right position at all. And red. Red like the sun.
They're destroying the moon to it.
Shooting out great flames of crimson fire.
They're running together into a great burning ball.
Now, make an end!
My reign as king has come to an end.
It does for us all, Your Majesty.
The giant is reaching out his arm, seizing the sun.
Squeezing it like an arm.
Darkness. So cold, bitter, icy.
The sea's frozen at our feet. The edges of the door, covered with icicles.
Peter, High King of Narnia, shut the door.
Yes, Aslan. The ice, it's hard to pull the door. There.
Peter, on a chain around your neck, you wear a golden key. It will lock the door. Use it now.
It is done.
Good. Follow me. Come further up. Come further in.
So, night falls on Narnia. Lucy, you're not crying. With Aslan ahead and all of us here.
Don't try to stop me, Peter. I am sure Aslan would not. I am sure it is not wrong to mourn for Narnia. Think of all that lies dead and frozen behind that door.
Yes, and I did hope that it might go on forever. I knew our world couldn't. I did think Narnia might.
Lord Diggory and I saw it begin. I did not think we would live to see it die.
Sirs, the ladies do well to weep. See? I do so myself. What world but Narnia have I ever known? It would be a great discourtesy if we did not mourn.
But we must also follow Aslan.
We can't hope to keep up with his pace.
No, he's headed for the west. We'll just have to keep walking westward until we find him.
We're doing the best we can.
Who's this?
It's a donkey. He's beautiful.
beautiful. What a lovely silver grey coat he's got.
You know who this is?
Puzzle! I hardly recognised you.
We only ever saw him in the dark.
And most of the time he had that awful lion skin on.
You are a very handsome donkey, Puzzle.
How did you get here?
And where have you been?
Well, I came in at the door, the same as everybody else, but I've been, well...
Yes?
Well, I've been trying to keep out of the way. Your way. Aslan's way, as much as I could. I saw him, you see. Aslan, I mean, the lion. And, well, when I saw him, I was so ashamed of all that nonsense about dressing up in that lion's skin that I didn't know how to look anyone in the face. But then, when I saw you all going away westward, I had a mouthful of grass, and... Oh, I've never tasted such good grass in all my life.
Certainly true.
And I plucked up courage to follow. But what I'd do if I really have to meet Aslan, I'm sure I don't know.
You'll find it will be all right when you really do.
And we'll be with you.
Now, we must keep going westward. I don't know. It reminds me of somewhere, but I can't give it a name. Could it be somewhere we once stayed for a holiday, when we were very, very small?
It would have to have been a jolly good holiday. I bet there isn't a country like this anywhere in our world. I mean, look at those colours. You couldn't get a blue like the blue on those mountains in our world.
Is this not Aslan's country?
Not like Aslan's country on the top of that mountain beyond the eastern end of the world. Eustace and I have been there.
If you ask me, it's like somewhere in the Narnian world. Look at those mountains ahead, and the big ice mountain beyond them. Surely they're rather like the mountains we used to see from Narnia, the ones up westward, beyond the waterfall.
Like? Why, they're exactly like. And yet they're not like. They're different. They have more colours on them, and they look further away than I remember, and they're more... Oh, I don't know.
More like the real thing?
Kings and queens, from up here I can see it all, from Beaver's Dam to Caer Paravel. Still shining on the edge of the eastern sea. Narnia is not dead. This is Narnia. This is Narnia.
But how can that be? Aslan told us older ones that we should never return to Narnia.
And anyway, we saw it all destroyed and the sun put out.
And it's all so different.
Yeah, but listen. When Aslan said you could never go back to Narnia, he meant the Narnia you were thinking of. The one that had a beginning and an end. But that was not the real Narnia. It was only a shadow or copy of the real Narnia, which has always been here and always will be here. Just as our world is only a shadow or copy of something in Aslan's real world.
If Lord Diggory is right, and I really feel that he is, then, Lucy, you need not mourn over Narnia. All of the old Narnia that mattered, all the dear creatures, have been drawn into the real Narnia through the door.
And, of course, it's different. As different as a real thing is from a shadow, or as waking life is from a dream. I don't know why you all look so surprised. The old philosophers knew all about it. Bless me, what do they teach them at these schools?
I've just realised something.
Realised what, Jules?
The reason why we loved old Narnia is that it sometimes looked a little like this. But now I have come home. I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all my life. Though I never knew it till now. Come further up. Come further in.
We're running. We're all running. How can I run this fast?
How can I run at all?
Everyone can. You and I.
Even me. But I've got awfully short legs.
Further up and further in.
It's all very well for him. He can fly.
Well, it feels as if we're flying.
This is absolutely crazy, and yet...
Isn't it wonderful? Haven't you noticed something? You can't feel afraid, even if you want to. Try it.
It's true. It's not possible to be afraid.
We are out of Narnia now and up into the western wild. I've never seen these lands before.
I never came here as king.
Nor I.
Ah, but we did, long ago.
On a flying horse, on the very day the world was made.
And it seems to me as if it were only yet.
I remember this long lake as blue as turquoise, and the smooth green hill, its sides as steep as the sides of a pyramid, and round the very top a green wall. And above the wall, the branches of trees, leaves like silver and fruit like gold.
We're here. There are the great golden gates.
There we go in.
Is it right?
Can it be? Reepy Chief the Mouse? One of the legendary heroes of Narnia who fought at the great battle of Beruna and afterwards sailed to the world's end with King Caspian.
Come further up and further in. Come into the garden. Come into the cool of sunlight and shadows.
Larger than it seemed from the outside.
Come in, come in. Many friends await you all. Sledge the flying horse that first brought Lord Diggory and Lady Polly to this place. There, enthroned at the foot of that tree, are King Frank and Queen Helen, from whom all the most ancient kings and queens of Narnia and Achenland have descended. Over there is Glimfeather the Owl, Puddle Glum the Marshwiggle, and King Rillian the Disenchanted. There is King Caspian the Seafarer and the Lord Drinian, Dr. Cornelius, Trumpkin the Dwarf, Truffle Hunter the Badger, and Glen Storm the Centaur. And there is Cor, King of Arkenland, with King Lunny's father and his wife, Queen Aravis, and the brave Prince Corin Thunderfist, his brother, and Bree the Horse and Windmare. And from further away in your past come Mr. and Mrs. Beaver and Tumnus the Fawn. Welcome!
Mr. Tumnus, after all these years, my first friend in Narnia.
Oh, dearest Lucy, daughter of Eve, let us walk.
I was puzzled by this garden, but I see now. It is like the stable. It is farther to get inside than it was outside.
Of course. The further up and the further in you go, the bigger everything gets.
And it's not really a garden, is it? It can't be, because it has its own woods and sea and mountains, and I know them all.
Well, this is still Narnia.
And more real and more beautiful than the Narnia down below. Just as it was more real and more beautiful than the Narnia outside the stable door. I see. World within world, Narnia within Narnia.
Yes, like an onion. Except that as you go in and in, each circle is larger than the last.
Look! Across there, on that hill beyond the valley, my mother and father, Peter, Edmund, and my parents. I can see them. There, see? Yeah. They can see me waving. Oh, how can we get at them?
That's easy. That country and this country, all the real countries are only spurs jutting out from the great mountains of Aslan. We have only to walk along the ridge, upward and inward, till it joins on. King Frank's horn. We must all go up.
Going up into the mountains.
We are going further up and further in.
Oh, that light ahead. It's getting stronger and stronger.
Welcome. I wish to speak with one of your company. Puzzle the Donkey. Is he here?
Yes, Aslan.
Come to me, my child.
Yes, Aslan. Yes, Aslan.
And now, I wish to ask why you do not yet look as happy as I mean you to be.
We're so afraid of being sent away, Aslan.
And you have sent us back into our own world so often.
No fear of that. Have you not guessed? There was a real railway accident. Your father and mother and all of you are, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, dead. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning.
As he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, for Peter, Edmund, Lucy, Jill, Eustace and the others, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before.
Professor Morris Denham, Shift, John Sessions, Puzzle, Timothy Spall, Richter, Philip Jackson, Tyrion, Paul Rees, Polly, Mary Wimbush, Eustace, Marco Williamson, Jill, Victoria Shallett, Peter, Tom Pitchin, Edmund, Peter England, Lucy, Ellie Bevan, Aslan, Stephen Thorne, Reepy Cheep, Sylvester McCoy, Tumnus, Norman Bird, Jewel, Chris Pavlow, Runewit, Keith Trinkle, Ginger, Jared Moore, Emmeth, Kim Wall, Poggin, Christopher Scott, Farsight, Hugh Dixon. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Last Battle was dramatized by Brian Sibley, with music by Peter Howell, and directed by John Taylor.